Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Here are additional articles from the inside pages of the Odessa American, Wednesday, June 22nd. ECSO investigating stabbing. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is investigating a stabbing that took place early Tuesday morning. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said a 22-year-old man told deputies he was at his friend's house when his friend stabbed him at least four times in the back and chest. The man was taken to the hospital from his own home in the 5300 block of West Lemon Street, but is expected to survive, Griffiths said. Deputies are attempting to locate the suspect, who has three other felony warrants, Griffiths said. Active shooter exercise. Ector County ISD police will host local law enforcement agencies today for an active shooter exercise, solo officer response, using the Whitaker Building on the west side of the Odessa High School campus. While the training begins in the morning, reporters are invited to join at 2 p.m. on the southwest corner of 12th Street and Whitaker, a news release said. Water Week, a fun, fulfilling event. By Michael Bauer. For the first time in 3 years, the Permian Basin Rehab Center was able to have its Water Week. The event usually takes place during the summer, but because of COVID, was put on hold for the last 2 years. This year, the Permian Basin Rehab Center was able to bring back the week-long event, which took place at the Outdoor Therapy Center. Therapists worked with patients, encouraging them to wear water gear and taking them outside, working with water activities such as water balloons and others involving water toys. Bringing back these fun opportunities for the patients is just uplifting for us, Permian Basin Rehab Director of Development and Marketing, Shannon Adams, said. It's great to finally get back to a point where we can have therapy outdoors without masks and for our patients to be able to see faces, and it affects their therapy, their independence with others, that it's a blessing to be out there and doing that again. For speech pathologist at the Permian Basin Rehab Center, Jordan Bailey, who's been at the center since October 2020, this was her first time working with patients during Water Week. I had no idea what to expect at first, Bailey said. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a little hard on some of our patients who need a lot of direct one-on-one time, but we found a good balance of going upstairs and working on our goals and then going outside to have fun. And it is so great to see the kids in a different environment and more loose, having more fun, especially with the summer heat. Bailey said that working outside with water activities with patients allows for a good change of scenery. They're used to coming in here and they're used to playing and working, but this is a whole different kind of play that they don't get to experience, especially if they're interacting with each other when there are groups of kids outside with each other, Bailey said. The social interaction is what you don't normally see during a regular group therapy session, so it's good to see the kids interact with each other. Bailey, who was working with patient Damon Hernandez on Tuesday morning, talked about some of the details that she works with him on, which includes articulation. He's here mostly for the way that his speech sounds, Bailey said of Hernandez. Upstairs, we worked with his SH sounds, and he has trouble with his TH too, especially when he's immersed in a fun environment, so that we are focusing on making sure he has proper tongue placement and can make good TH sounds when he's requesting things. One of his go-to phrases is, "I think I want to do," and then he'll fill in the blank. So we're making sure that he has the good TH sounds in there. Depending what the therapists are working on with their patients, they'll try to make the water activities work specifically for their goals. Whether they're requesting items with more than one word, using a phrase, "I want the red block," or even identifying colors too, like showing them two options and asking if they want blue or red and hoping that they can label those basic concepts, Bailey said. Adams said the patients and the therapists enjoy Water Week. "Everyone's having a great time playing in the water," Adams said. "It's a great opportunity for our patients. So many of our patients are limited as to where they feel comfortable, especially pediatric patients who aren't comfortable going to community swimming pools or water parks. It's overwhelming for them. Our patients are comfortable here, so to provide this to them and be outside and play in the water, the patients love it. The parents and the families love it, and everyone's having a good time. Bailey said that by working outside, it helps add more to the therapy sessions. It's a good break for us, and it's a good break for the kids, too, Bailey said. They're used to coming inside and sitting down mostly at the tables to work, but going outside is something we do, just not much with water. Who knows if they're going to do these things at home as well. They're getting to have a lot of fun. It's a good environment where they're getting to do language development, but also having a break from therapy as well. It'll be weeks from now where they'll be asking to come back outside and play in the water. The reaction from the patients has been positive. So far, the kids have really enjoyed it, Bailey said. The parents are a little confused about what to expect, but we give them further details like bring this, bring that, and bring sunscreen. But the kids love it, and the parents are excited to see their kids do something different. The timing of this week's Water Week has been pretty convenient, as it comes 1 week after the water crisis in Odessa forced a boil alert that lasted from Tuesday until Saturday. We're very thankful, Adams said. We were talking the other day that if we had this scheduled last week, it would have been a mess, but it worked out. God has a plan. Adams said the rehab center will have another water week at the end of July and said that donations are welcomed. If anybody wants to help out with donations or water toys, water balloons, we're always grateful, and those are wonderful help, Adams said. If anybody wants to schedule a tour and see what we're all about, it's always our pleasure to have people here. Those who want to donate can do so at pbrehab.org. Business Gifts Travis with Backpacks. A group of more than 20 volunteers converged on Travis Elementary School Tuesday to pack backpacks with school supplies for students. Plans are to distribute the 200 backpacks July 18th at the school. Principal Amy Russell said those giving of their time were staff from Travis, people from Odessa Bible Church, teachers, attorneys, and school board members. Jesse Macias, field service supervisor for ST9 Gas and Oil, said he asked the Odessa City Council member Mark Mata what school would be good to help out, and he suggested Travis. Macias and Mata go to the same church, and Macias knew Mata was involved in the community. Macias said his company is based in Tomball, and they helped the school in Magnolia. So Macias mentioned it to the company CEO, Chris Buckley, and it went from there. They decided on backpacks and supplies. They started with 25, and the number kept growing until they reached 200. Macias said Buckley is a humble guy who believes in helping people. It's a good thing to do for your community. I appreciate him doing this over here in West Texas. The company is based out of Houston, but we're everywhere. We're trying to expand, so it's good to be here so we can help this community, not just one in particular. Hopefully, this is just the beginning and we can do more here in West Texas, Macias said. Macias is from El Paso, but has lived in Odessa for 8 years. I've got a lot of ideas, and I'm glad to work for a company that was willing to give me the support for it. It's a blessing. We're trying to get more organized here in West Texas, Macias said. Russell said each backpack will have enough for the students to get started for their first few weeks at school. Starting earlier, this is going to make us ready for, hopefully, the bulk of our kids, Russell said. They will be distributed as part of the back-to-school bash July 18th. The purpose of that is to greet parents and allow the parents who have registered to pick up their backpack and have some food, Russell added. She said the campus is 87% economically disadvantaged. Myrna Diaz, a fifth-grade bilingual teacher at Travis, helped pack the bags. I was excited to hear that they donated that much. A lot of our kids come unprepared the first few days, and that way they already have something to start with. We're always running around trying to get some extra stuff for kids that don't come prepared. It's not that they can't, Sometimes it's just time-wise, payday-wise, Diaz said. Sherry Palmer, retired principal at Carver Early Education Center, was volunteering at Travis Tuesday. She said she and Russell are good friends. You always have to invest in your kids in the community. This is a really neat way to do that. We had really great people that supplied the stuff, and all we had to do was just take it and stuff it in, Palmer said. She added that every student wants something new to start the year with. Derek Candales was volunteering from Odessa Bible Church, and he always helps out there as well. He added that he knows what it's like to not have any stuff. It's awesome giving stuff to children, children that don't have anything, Candales said. MMH recognized for commitment to providing high-quality cardiovascular care. Midland Memorial Hospital has received two American Heart Association Mission Lifetime Achievement Awards. MMH has been recognized for demonstrating commitment to following up-to-date, research-based guidelines for the treatment of heart disease and stroke. That means more lives saved, shorter recovery times, and fewer readmissions to the hospital. Every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a stroke or heart attack, and heart disease and stroke are the number one and number five causes of death in the United States, respectively. Studies show patients can recover better when providers consistently follow treatment guidelines. Mission Lifeline put the expertise of the American Heart Association and American Stroke Association to work for hospitals nationwide, helping ensure patient care is aligned with the latest evidence and research-based guidelines. As a participant in the Mission Lifeline program, MMH qualified for the awards by demonstrating how their organization has committed to improving quality care. MMH is committed to improving care by adhering to the latest treatment guidelines and streamlining processes to ensure timely and proper care for heart attacks and strokes, Nancy Hill said, Executive Director of Quality Management. The Mission Lifeline program makes it easier for our teams to put proven knowledge and guidelines to work on a daily basis, which helps us ensure more people in the Permian Basin experience longer, healthier lives. This year, Midland Memorial Hospital received these achievement awards: Mission Lifeline NSTMI Gold Achievement Award, Mission Lifeline STMI Receiving and Center Gold Achievement Award. We are pleased to recognize Midland Memorial Hospital for its commitment to caring for those in their community who need cardiovascular care, John Warner, MD, FAHA, past president of the American Heart Association and executive vice president for health system affairs at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, said. Hospitals that follow the American Heart Association's quality improvement protocols often see improved patient outcomes, fewer readmissions, and lower mortality rates, a win for healthcare systems, families, and communities.
Obituaries. Leona Everett Sweeney. Springfield, Missouri. Leona Everett Sweeney was born in Odessa, Texas on June 23, 2000 to Christina Malinwinski and Adam Hager. On April 25th, she was found deceased in her apartment at age 21. She is survived by her parents, her brothers Silas Evans and William Malasquinski, and her grandparents. Services to honor and celebrate Leona's life will be held on June 23rd at 2 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. To honor the work Leona did to save countless dogs and cats, please donate to or volunteer with the animal rescue of your choice. Paul Mahan Wyman, Chapmansboro, Tennessee, March 20th, 1965 to June 17th, 2022. Paul is survived by his wife, Lisa Porter Wyman, and son, Philip Wyman. His mother, Joanne Wyman, sisters Julie Blakely and her husband Russell of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Nancy Fernie of Texas, Dallas, Leah Ann Buse and her husband Gary of Dallas, and Laurie Hitzelberg and her husband Jim of Dallas. Visitation will be at Frank Wilson Funeral Home, 4635 Oakwood, Friday, June 24th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Services at First Odessa, 709 North Lee on Saturday, June 25th at 2 p.m. with graveside following at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Death notices. Berdola Blakely Bars, Odessa. Berdola Blakely Bars, 84 of Odessa, died Saturday, June 11th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, June 23rd at St. James Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. L. Marine Berry, Odessa. L. Marine Berry, 82 of Odessa, died Saturday, June 18th. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. June 22nd at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pamphilo Fernandez Enriquez, Odessa. Pamphilo Fernandez Enriquez, 78 of Odessa, Texas, died Friday, June 17th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. June 22nd at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as the alternative means of burial. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Jerry Lynn Petty, Odessa. Jerry Lynn Petty, 41, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 12th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Saturday, June 25th, at West Texas Cowboy Church in Gardendale. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel. Sergio Traveras, Jr., Odessa. Sergio Traveras, Jr., 33 of Odessa, died Monday, June 20th. Mass will be celebrated at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 25th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial follows at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Celio Torres, Odessa. Celio Torres, 67 of Odessa, died Sunday, June 19th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. June 24th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Prayer services are Thursday at 7 p.m. Burial follows funeral services at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. Screening teens' hearts will save lives. Midland Health is hosting a free teen heart screening for the youth in our community through a partnership with Championship Hearts Foundation. The mission of Championship Hearts is to prevent sudden cardiac death in the adolescent population. By screening for unrecognized heart conditions, we also strive to provide reassurance for young athletes and their families. Cardiac disease is the number one cause of death in the U.S., yet the adolescent population is not generally screened for heart abnormalities. The leading cause of sudden cardiac death in youth is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a serious heart condition that affects 1 in 500 of the general population. HCM has no symptoms, and sudden cardiac arrest is usually the first sign of any trouble. During the last 22 years, Championship Hearts has screened more than 27,600 Texas youth and has determined on average 1 in 250 has a condition known to cause sudden cardiac death. The free heart screening offered by the Championship Hearts Foundation includes a 12-lead electrocardiogram and a limited echocardiogram, two tests not typically part of standard pre-participation medical examinations for adolescents. Estimated at a $700 value, the screening is offered free of charge to any teens ages 14 to 18. The tests are non-invasive and painless. Although designed to detect HCM, the screening can also reveal other serious heart abnormalities, such as long QT syndrome, Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, and bicuspid aortic valve disease. The Championship Heart Screening Program is recognized by the Texas Chapter of the American College of Cardiology as a quality initiative. On August 6th, Midland teens have the opportunity to receive this free heart screening, providing important baseline health knowledge for those students and their families. Local volunteer cardiologists will provide immediate screening results to appreciative parents and students. If suspected heart conditions are identified, students will receive a referral for further pediatric cardiology evaluation. For most attendees, the entire process will be completed in about 1 hour. Want to get your teen's heart screened? Championship Hearts Foundation and Midland Memorial will offer the free teen heart screening on August 6th. Volunteer opportunities are also available at the August screening for adults and high school students via the Get Involved tab at champhearts.org.
Hello, this is Michael with an additional article to fill for time that was published Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, in the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Texas GOP swing to far right cemented with party platform, by Will Weisert, Associated Press, Washington. 10 years ago, the Texas Republican Party used its platform to oppose teaching critical thinking in schools. In 2014, it declared homosexuality a chosen behavior contrary to God and endorsed reparative therapy to reverse it. By 2020, the party was ready to remind the world that Texas retains the right to secede from the United States. But now the GOP platform in the country's largest red state, long an ideological wish list that even the most conservative Texans knew was mostly filled with pipe dreams that would never become policy, has broken new ground in its push to the far right. Approved by 5,000-plus party delegates last weekend in Houston during the party's biennial convention, the new platform brands President Joe Biden an acting commander-in-chief who was never legitimately elected. It may not matter who the president is, though, since the platform takes previous language about secession much further, urging the Republican-controlled legislature to put the question of leaving the United States to voters next year. The platform also says homosexuality is an abnormal lifestyle choice and rejects bipartisan legislation in Congress seeking to raise the minimum age to buy assault weapons from 18 to 21, saying Texans under 21 are most likely to be victims of violent crime and thus most likely to need to defend themselves. Though non-binding, the platform illustrates just how far Texas Republicans have moved to the right in the past decade, from championing Tea Party ideals in 2012 to endorsing former President Donald Trump's continued lies about the non-existent widespread fraud costing him an election he actually lost by more than 7 million votes. The platform reflects the direction that party activists believe the party should take, said Matt McCowick, a Republican strategist based in the Texas capital of Austin. He said that rather than deciding elections or dictating legislative action, the platform is more relevant as a signal of where primary voters are and what they care about. McWick said items like considering secession won't be taken seriously, but Trump's policy agenda is here to stay. He said that as the former president continues to question 2020 election results, he will continue to find a receptive audience in the Texas GOP. Are people really in doubt that Republicans have concerns about how the election was conducted? McCowick asked. Matt Rinaldi, a former lawmaker in the state who now chairs the Texas GOP and state Republicans, rightly have no faith in the 2020 election results, and we don't care how many times the elites tell us we have to. We refuse to let Democrats rig the elections in 2022 or 2024, Rinaldi said in a statement. Democrats haven't rigged anything. An Associated Press review of every potential case of voter fraud in the six battleground states disputed by Trump has found fewer than 475, a number that would have made no difference in the 2020 presidential election. Meanwhile, Texas's 2020 election was a romp, even by the standards of Republicans who have dominated the state for decades. The party's candidates topped Democrats in key congressional and state house races as Trump easily carried its electoral votes. But that didn't stop the former president from praising the party's 2022 platform, posting Tuesday, "Look at the great state of Texas and their powerful Republican Party platform on the 2020 presidential election fraud. Such courage," he wrote, "but that's why Texas is Texas." Trump was cheering language, declaring, "We reject the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold that acting President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was not legitimately elected." That was a departure from as recently as 2014, when the Texas GOP platform questioned Barack Obama's commitment to citizens' constitutional rights, but at least recognized him as president. This year's platform also says that Texas retains the right to secede from the United States, and the Texas legislature should be called upon to pass a referendum consistent thereto.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. One leg is shorter than the other. Dear Dr. Roach, 4 years ago, my wife had hip surgery caused by a fall. About 8 months after the surgery, she noticed her left leg was 3 inches shorter than her right one. Her doctor agreed it was shorter and said that does happen frequently. She must use a cane to walk and is now in a lot of pain just walking in a market or around the house. Is it common for this type of disability to be caused by hip surgery? Is there any type of procedure to correct it? What could be done to alleviate the pain and discomfort from this injury? Answer. Up to a quarter of people will have a change in the length of the leg after hip replacement surgery. I'm not sure that's what your wife had, but that's a common surgery after a fall. A significant difference in the length of the two legs is one that causes symptoms. Some surgeons use 2 centimeters. Your wife has a difference of almost 9 centimeters. I don't know whether she had a difference before the fall. Some people do and never notice. But if this is new since surgery, treatment is best sooner rather than later. She should have a careful measurement of the length of her legs. This is harder than it seems, and often a patient's measurement is inexact. A shoe lift can be made to correct the length discrepancy. Since it has been so long since surgery, many experts do not attempt to correct the entire difference. However, with treatment, she should have better movement and less pain. She should see her orthopedic surgeon.
This is the Dear Abby column. Man's history as abuse victim impacts marriage. Dear Abby, my husband was forced into sex at the age of 12 by an older female. He has expressed how humiliated he felt and that he made it his mission to never feel inadequate again. He gets his knowledge of satisfying a woman through porn. I have tried to explain to him that what he is seeing is only a performance put on for the male viewer. I have tried more than once to show him what really makes a woman tick, but he insists I don't know what I'm talking about and that I'm lying to him. I have tried every gentle approach to avoid hurting his feelings. I know from family members' comments about his bedroom having been a revolving door for women that he probably didn't use much discernment in the past. How can I move forward when I feel like he's stuck in the past? I know being sexually abused causes all kinds of trauma. He insists he's over it, but his actions tell me otherwise. I'm pretty sure I'm not his first unsatisfied partner, because all his other relationships have ended because they were crazy, stupid, fat, unfaithful. I don't want to give up on him. Please help. Signed, Patient Wife in Florida. Dear Wife, talking to your husband must be like talking to a wall. Solid marriages are built on trust and good communication, and your husband seems capable of neither. I admire your perseverance. The fact that he may have never had counseling to deal with what he went through as a child is regrettable. It could even help now. A licensed sex therapist might be able to help your husband see that you are not lying to him when you tell him that what pleases one woman might not please another. If you can't make him understand what makes you tick, then cross your fingers and hope the therapist can get the message across. Dear Abby, my 40-year-old nephew, Randy, hasn't spoken with his sister, Elise, in 5 years because of a disagreement about the resolution of their father's trust. When they visited me 4 years ago, he wouldn't speak to her. Elise and her husband later announced they were adopting a baby. Randy visited me alone 6 months later, and I suggested without success that he put this aside until after the adoption. During the adoption, she became pregnant and had a second child. Randy still hasn't seen or talked with her or his niece and nephew. Our relationship has deteriorated since. Randy and Elise tried a mediator last year, again without success. I should mention he doesn't speak with his mother either. He has dodged any further discussion about the situation. I'm at a loss. We were all so close, and I miss him, but I can't accept his actions anymore. Any suggestions? Signed, Uncle in Pain. Dear Uncle, in some families, blood is thicker than water. Your nephew appears to feel that money is thicker than blood. As much as you might wish to do it, you can't change him. Because his unwillingness to relent is causing you pain, limit your interactions with him and maintain your relationship with Elise, the children, and Randy's mother. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.